Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mac went 320.
Yeah.
Matt Corral kind of stole your answer because you went, I think he went 250.
Yeah. I mean, I weighed the framework for the entire answer to begin with, though, because it was like, it was like thinking about it. It's like, I knew that Lowry had signed like a $180 million deal or something at that point, and then you do the years and you kind of go after it. So I want credit for that, Matt. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, you get the credit because then you went 272.
Yeah, we did come ridiculously close to the actual answer.
I would have $1 bobbed him out of spite.
And just done 251?
It's why I want to be on Price is Right just one day. I just want to $1 bob somebody. I want to go up. And when I say $1 bob, it's not $1 bob.
Drew take offense to you saying $1 bob? Or does he roll with the punches now?
If he did, I'd be like, Drew, I'm sorry. I've been watching this show since I was a toddler. You're Bob to me today.
Is that just like the understood thing? Yeah. $1 Bob. And Drew's like, I get it.
And then, but the thing is, my $1 Bob would be, you bet 250. And I go, you guess 250. And I say 251. It's the greatest troll.
Yeah, but even just betting $1 was the biggest troll to begin with anyway. When it got down to the end and you thought all the people had guessed too much money and you just did the $1 thing and then you ended up getting up there.
Oh, I think the better one is...
It ruined the game.
The better one is when somebody's in like the most justifiable range, but they've got like $300 on either side and then you go $1 higher than them. If that happened to me, I have no idea how nobody's been assaulted. Because if you're there and then that person wins, I mean... Actually, you know what I'd love to do now that we're
well, let's discuss it.
I'm like Chris Carter with the thongs and the banana hammocks.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if somebody $1 bobs somebody
some
right
context
before me,
we might need on that Odyssey Rewind 420 to hear Chris Carter talk about that.
Yeah, and lustfully talk about that. I would love if I got to $1 one up somebody who just one up somebody. It was like 250, yeah. 251, and then I'm the last guy, and I say 252.
And you get a whole string of it. Would the game have been better if you just took out the idea that whoever goes over, you're out of then the equation? I always thought the showcase showdown, there should have been, you can play the regular game that way, but when it came to the showcase showdown, I always thought you should have been able to go over if you wanted.
I also, okay, so if we're on the topic of showcase showdown, if we're doing that, I think if you get it within like $200, I think you should get the whole thing. Right, like if you land right on the number, you get both things.
Yeah, you get both prizes.
Yeah, it's got to be like 500. It's so hard to get those things right, especially in the era of like increased volume where nothing really seems like it should cost what it costs. Oh man,
I'm thinking of if I ever got a chance to be on the Price is Right, I would be the person that this is just who I am as a human. I'd be the person that would tell them like what I thought the answer was, and then they would tell me it was wrong. But I would have swore I saw it like price checked a different spot like 2 weeks prior and be like, what site are you using? And just kind of get mad at the whole process.
You know, there's multiple people who track everything in an Excel document over years so that when they go, they know.
There's a whole documentary about a guy that did that.
Yeah. And I guarantee you there are more people that actually just do it for fun.
But what would you use? Would you just use like what they use on Amazon? Would you use, is there like an understood price guide for the Price is Right?
I don't have the work ethic for it. I couldn't.
Could you imagine spending so much of your life dedicated to that? when you could do something else, like literally anything else with your life.
Yeah, that guy could probably be a millionaire with that kind of mindset.
Right, that
and
kind
focus.
Of mindset, that yeah. kind of dedication. And it's like, no, what did you do? Well, I waited until I could go win the Showcase Showdown and just dominate one episode of The Price is Right.
So we started the show talking about blame for the Guardians.
Yeah.
And too much of the conversation becomes you're either blaming the Dolans or you're blaming the front office. But one of the we had one of our listeners here, and I'm sorry for getting your Twitter handle there, but you know, they responded to one of our videos saying, you know, who's talking hot seat? And literally no one was talking hot seat. And I think there's this failure to understand. You can hold the front office accountable and say they did a bad job and have done a bad job developing offensive players over the last 5 to 7 to 10 years without then turning around and saying they should be fired.
Yeah, well, fired and hot seat are two different things, by the way. But I think you can live in the world where I currently live, which is they've just been in charge for too long. I need a new scenery. I need new faces. Baseball is littered with really, really smart people. It's not like it's going to be impossible to replace. I just think that, and there's value they have. It's an acknowledgement. That's why they've been in the job that they've been in for as long as they have. Antonetti's been in the GM / president of baseball operations role since 2010. You don't just fall into that. He's had a lot of success. But I can also sit back and say, maybe the game has changed in a way that they necessarily haven't responded to, and maybe they're not the best in certain areas that I need them to be better in, and if that's the case, it's the case.
So this is where it's good. Listen, I think you could be like Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has done a really, really good job. Post Friedman, Andrew Friedman, who went to LA and then has built the championship teams there, really since about 2008, the Rays have just done a good job of consistently replenishing their talent, and they have down years here and there. I think last year was a down year for Tampa, but like they know how to fill up the roster the way they need to. There's a part of me that goes, I mean, things changed about 2020. And the disappearance of cable money has hammered this organization because of the limitations of the owner. And that is where I ultimately say I'm willing to give the front office time to figure it out, because I know it, like, I know that they can do this. I know that they're good. They just haven't had a good stretch. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I don't know that they can. That's the problem. That's where our disconnect is here. Is you say you know that they can. I don't know that they can. As so much of this game is what you can do in the offensive side of the ball. I go back to that story I told you about with Yandy Diaz. Like, he shows up in Tampa Bay. All they told him was hit up on the baseball. That's not rocket science, Nick. That's like fifth grade baseball stuff that they're teaching people right now. Just a mammoth of a human hit up on the baseball. How did no one teach him that? And I just feel like there's a problem with the organization top to bottom at this point. And they believe in what they believe in such a staunch way that I don't know that it's ever going to get corrected.
But here's the flaw. This isn't Pittsburgh, where they haven't been good since Neil Walker and Andrew McCutchen left. They were in the ALCS last year. 2 years before that, they were in the ALDS. Like, they are in the last 4 years, they're hitting .500. We'd like for them to hit 600 or 700 when it comes to winning in a decade. But it's like this is a bad year until proven otherwise. I think that's where I struggle with people who then take it to, because honestly, the and not you, but some of the people saying we got to get Antonetti and Chernoff are the same people who said Tito was a problem. And they were wrong about that, too. And they're the same people who ultimately are the people who say, I want them to fail so we can trade Hosey to rub the nose of the owners in it. And it's like, okay, that's a little too negative for this situation, even though, again, I think there are valid frustrations and valid reasons to look at this and saying it didn't have to go the way this year has gone.
Right. No, it didn't. And right now there's an obvious amount of frustration that is put at the feet of Antonetti and Chernoff, because when you're mirrored in a 10-game losing streak and everyone that pays attention knows, why isn't DeLauder up here? Why isn't Kafis up here? Why isn't Brito up here? And it doesn't seem like, the problem I have right now is it doesn't seem like the two of them are necessarily guiding this team to try to win baseball games. It seems like they're just doing it to either do the bidding of the Dolans or to just, like, if you didn't know any better, would you think that this is a team that is trying to win a bunch of games or a team that is trying to tank? Which would you honestly think?
I wouldn't think either. I think they're just trying to see where this thing goes, and this is where it's led.
Because the way these lineups look on a day-in, day-out basis, and calling up Will Wilson to have him play yesterday, and even today, calling up John Kenzie Noel, like these are the type of moves I just don't know how you justify it. Like, if you're Antonetti and Chernoff, I don't know how you sit back and say, these are the moves of a team that we're desperately trying to win as many games as we can this year. Because if that was the case, they would have called up the three prospects we've been talking about for a month, and so it just... Maybe there's a bigger plan at stake. I've just run tired of them always presenting us with this bigger plan down the road.
Well, were you tired last year?
Well, yes, in many parts I was. Yes, I was, because I didn't feel like that was... Everyone walks around like this is an ALCS team, and that's what they were. You are non-competitive in that ALCS series against the Yankees, and it's not as if you pushed any chips in the middle of the table getting Matthew Boyd and Lane Thomas. Now, Boyd's been good in Chicago this year, but that's another thing we can use against
them. This is where you can't win with you people specifically. Because the whole thing was they're not going to make trades. Then they traded for Lane Thomas. That's not good enough. All right, what better player than Lane Thomas was traded?
The offense was not Alex Cobb. It was not good enough last year, and they knew it when they entered the postseason.
Yeah, okay, but the point is they did go to the ALCS. So this idea of a team that a year before was good enough to be in the running for the number one pick for a year later for them to be in the ALCS – like I guess there's no in between with the Guardians. It's either, yeah, we have to discredit everything they've actually accomplished, which is disingenuous. They did accomplish something. I am as frustrated as anybody is about the Dolans. I am. I just don't spend a lot of time racking my brain about it because I can't run millionaires and billionaires out of town. And when it comes to Antonetti and Chernoff, they have failed. There is no other way of saying they have failed when it comes to player development on the offensive side of the ball, and it is compounded to where we are this year. But I also have to give them credit for their successes. And if I'm going to hammer them for their failure, I got to give them credit for their successes. And everyone's willing to do one of those two things. But no one's willing to do both of those things.
No, but it's rewarding them in an interesting way. We're acting as if this is baseball or basketball, where the ALCS or the conference title game means that you are really one of the four best teams in the sport.
Is it an accomplishment?
It's an accomplishment. No one's taken away from that. But it's also...
You devalued it, saying they were
non-competitive. Well, I did devalue it because you weren't competitive once you got there. But it is also a sport where once you get to the postseason... anything's up on the table. Like, the Rangers were in the World Series and won the World Series against the Diamondbacks as a 90-win team versus an 83-win team. It's not as if any Diamondback fan looks at that World Series and is like, wow, what a juggernaut of a team we had compiled there. No, they had success. That can exist. And they also got lucky in a format that lets you get lucky in a sport that lets you get lucky once you get your ticket punched.
Okay, Lane Thomas was actually, the only time he's performed here was in the postseason.
Yes, which that goes to that right there. Well, but it goes Matthew to the idea they Boyd, got incredibly lucky in that
that's
instance.
That's not lucky.
Yes, it is.
No, he performed.
If for the 3 weeks that's he not, had his best 3 weeks, what else would you call that?
I would call that he finally got healthy and actually played well. Same thing with Matthew Boyd. Yeah, Everyone's crying about Matthew Boyd. No one was crying about him in January because he is who he is. He's having a great year, by the way, in Chicago. But if my options were re-sign Shane Bieber or re-sign Matthew Boyd, I'm going to re-sign Shane Bieber. That one makes a hell of a lot more sense to me. Trading Josh Naylor and Andrés Giménez, guys, Giménez stinks. He's not a good offensive player. Stop turning him into the second coming of something else. The sin was not reinvesting that money. We'll agree on that.
And that's where you should be even more mad. If you really believe that that team was great last year, then you should be livid that they then take away the complete right side of their infield and they make all these different changes.
You mean a guy who couldn't stop swinging out of his shoes and was overweight and another guy who was hitting, 250 last year?
Well, you're the one telling me that you love that team so much.
No.
That was two cornerstones of that team.
No, they weren't. No, they were good players. That's...
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it. And so this is where the whole conversation gets convoluted every single time. They were in the ALCS. Stop discounting it.
It's not discounting
yes,
it.
Yes, it is. By saying they weren't competitive is discounting.
They weren't competitive in it. But it's the setup of the sport more than it is anything else. It's not that the Guardians themselves did some magical wonderment and constructed some great roster. That was not a great roster. Yes, they made it to the ALCS. It was not a great roster.
No, but did they succeed? Yes or no?
Well, they got to the ALCS. Is that enough to keep your job for 10 years?
Like how long do you get to keep your job off that? It's enough to keep it for more than a year.
How long do you get to keep your job off that? I'm always fascinated by that question.
I don't know. How many times has Tampa been in the ALCS the last decade? How many times has Kansas City been in the ALCS the last 10? Like, this is the problem. Like, there are real problems here, and there are things that need to be addressed. And it is a shame that we don't have ownership that can afford or is willing to, however you want to put it. Absolutely ashamed, because this season is the biggest waste in Guardians history, because you got 2 million asses in that seat.
They sold out Friday night.
It is like you've got a fan base who is clamoring for this. And it is a sin. It is a sin, honestly. And it sucks. It does. They've wasted the greatest momentum they've had since the mid-90s. And yet, we can still give them credit for the things they've done. And by the way, I agree with you that this front office is too comfortable. You know how I know they're too comfortable? They're too damn stubborn. They think they know everything. And then they get into these thought channels and can't get out. It's frustrating. But when we then go to, guys, it's a 10-game losing streak. It totally makes sense we're having these conversations. But we act like this is the 1970s. It ain't. It's not great, but it could be a hell of a lot worse. And I'm not saying you want to. But if you want to fire these guys, wait until you got Doug Melvin as your GM.
Won't be Doug Melvin. There's so many smart baseball people right now.
And by the way, smart GMs come in and are bad at the job. Like, smart people come in.
Right now, Antonetti and Chernoff are bad at their job, too.
No. Yes, they've had it. No, because they've still developed pitching. They've still developed bullpen. They still do have prospects that other teams covet. They just won't trade them. Like, they're not a total failure.
They're not a total failure. No one's saying that. But in 10 years, in this little stretch here, you have a lot of winning that you've done. No one's denying that. No one's taking that away from them. It's just right now, I look at their lack of development and I see it being a problem. And I look at where this organization is going and they're promising another plan. And I just don't know if it's going to actually come to fruition. I feel like they've been in the roles they've been in for just a little bit too long.
Are Antonetti and Chernoff too comfortable? More on that and where this thing's going. Plus Mike and Colin in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think one thing that fans are frustrated with is the lack of definition, meaning, are you trying to win or are you trying to rebuild?
Mm-hmm.
And seemingly the Guardians bouncing between those two things over the last 4 years.
Yeah, no, it's maddening. And it's the type of thing, even like last year, like I was convinced for many parts of last year, and I'll still believe even just having these conversations, that last year they just did things way too early on their schedule. Like, they fell into it more than they were trying to accomplish what they accomplished. And then I thought this year was going to be another ramp-up year, and then the year after was going to be the year that they really try to unload and try to get things done. And I think their timeline got a little warped there, and then they were stuck in this little in-between, where you have fans angry at the idea that you made it to the ALCS and had this team, and then you went the opposite direction.
Yeah, and I think, like, even the way they attacked this last offseason, I still continue to come back to Naylor and Jimenez probably should have gone. You were never re-signing Josh, and Jimenez is even worse this year in Toronto, surrounded by a lot better hitters. But the problem then comes, all right, who do you have on the way? And I think maybe this is what, like, I do think that the way they've built rosters at points has left room for a lot of arrogance. And that is something I do think is a real fair criticism specific to. Like, I don't hate the idea of we want to have young spots for our young – we want to have spots for our young players to come up and give them a chance. That should be 2 spots. It shouldn't be 5 spots.
Yeah.
Or in this case, it felt like 6 spots this year.
Well, I mean, even in, like, 2016, for instance, I remember being – at those World Series games and looking up, I remember writing articles even for the website about how the idea that it was J-Ram and it was Lindor's the only two that hit in that World Series. And they had other guys leading up to the World Series, obviously, but it's guys like Coco Crisp, for instance, you know, like guys like that, that just kind of gave you, and he did a good job in the World Series. I don't want to diminish him, but like that was the idea, is that you had to get guys like that to kind of pop up. And it felt like in that little stretch there, they kept finding guys to be able to fill in some of the holes and some of the blanks. And now we've just been on this run for a couple years now where it feels like offensively, they're not able to just kind of patchwork and piece it all together.
And I think that's where, like, I still don't, it's okay. In season, this roster is miles away. I mean, light years away from being where they need to be. But if you recalibrate this offseason, and I only come back to this name because, and I actually think he might be hurt at the moment, but I come back to this name of like an Austin Hayes on a 1-year, $6 million. If you had added two of those guys to this lineup, I think your problem is you're trying to put too many young guys in at the same time. And so they don't have the veteran presence around them to fall back on. So like the catch 22 is you probably should trade Santana because you might get more than he's worth. You probably should trade Class A because relievers are fungible assets and you can get a haul for them. But even then, like unless you go into free agency this next year, and again, it doesn't have to be like the 20 to 25. No one's expecting those guys. You didn't add a single bat in free agency of any sort of like could give you even platoon play like right. Austin Hayes. And yet I still think even if you trade Kwan and Class A and then turn around, yeah, I think if you have one kid from one of those trades ready to make a difference, and you have DeLauder, and you sign one or two players, I still think you could be right back to where you want to be next year, even if you still might be a team that tops out in the ALCS.
Sometimes it just takes a little bit of luck on their side, too, and I feel like they've been incredibly unlucky in areas that, I want to bring up the Tigers, for instance, and we referenced earlier the idea that Torres was on the table for everyone, and Detroit got him, and now he's an all-star. He's a second baseman. He's done great. But part of the reason why the Tigers look so good, it's more than just Riley Green becoming an all-star now and Parker Meadows having the season and all these other things. It's more the idea that guys like they left for dead, Javi Baez, loaded contract, but they weren't ever going to play him again. And then they found him in a spot, in a situation where they just needed to at the start of the season, all-star. You know, like you need some of those type of breaks. And I feel like in the past, the Guardians were able to get those. And now it's been on like a 4 or 5 year stretch where the Guardians have just in every spot not been able to have something like that happen for them.
Well, but you have like an Oscar Gonzalez and then he follows it up by completely disappearing.
Yes, right.
You like have a David John Fry. Kensi.
David Fry makes the all-star team and then just completely comes back down to earth.
So like, and honestly, the way I view the last four seasons is you overperformed in 2022. And then you regress to the mean the next year. Last year, you overperformed, especially given your health issues in your bullpen, especially given your offensive issues, and then you've regressed to the mean. I don't think there's a lot that tells me, whether you make trades at the deadline or not, that you can't regress back, a positive regression going forward.
I just think it's going to take a lot of different players than what we currently have. And maybe that's the excitement that you have to latch on to, right? So, okay, you're done with, again, for this year, it is what it is. But next year, you have DeWater, you have Brito, you have Kafis, you make some progressions with Bazana that maybe by June or July, he's up here and he's playing major league at-bats. And before you know it, I mean, that's four different guys that we've named. You can completely overhaul this offensive system and completely overhaul what exactly you have. It's just based off of what we've seen in the past couple of years, once these guys get here, they're not going to know any better than what the guys that we've seen in the past couple of years that have gotten up here know what to do anyway.
216-474-0092. What does the Guardians' future look like? I think that's another thing. Again, we're in the thickest part of the jungle here. You've lost 10 straight games. There's nothing more disheartening than a double-digit losing streak, especially when it feels like you were playing with a little bit of fire earlier in the season and maybe you weren't that good of a team to begin with. I still don't think the future is all that bleak. The immediate future, right now, today, what do we do over the next 90 games? Very bleak. But next year, if you do this right, and this is where I actually will fall back on Antonetti and Chernoff and say, I'm going to give you the chance to get this right. Because I think it is. I think it's well with respectability or beyond is well within the range here. I think the Tigers has people maybe feeling differently because the Tigers are so dominant this year. Okay, guys, there's still three wild card spots. There's still a lot of room to kind of grow into who you want to be. And oh, by the way, the Tigers ownership doesn't spend either. And that's probably going to be a 3 to 5 year window, even if they are dominant in this division.
Yeah, I'm not letting the division scare me in any sort of way. Although, obviously, I like the Royals with Witt and Caglione. I like what they're developing over there. I really do. Twins are what they are. I'm not letting that dictate anything. It's more about whether or not we get all these supposed to be really talented hitters. I mean, you're a farm system guy. Isn't like 9 out of the top 10 all hitters offensively for the Guardians? Yep. I mean, like, they loaded up in that area, and the ones we've been getting up here in the past couple years haven't been anything more than better than just slightly better than AAA players.
It would be great if some of those kids could just stay healthy for the love of God, especially the kids at Lake County. Like, God, do we need these kids just to just keep playing?
I mean, like, that's the thing though. Like they did it in a way that I find fascinating, and I don't think is wrong. Where they knew they could develop pitching, and they know they could do that side of it. And so what do? They drafted a lot of hitters, and they spent a lot of prospects and in getting prospects, acquiring prospects that could hit. Like, but now it's on them to actually get these guys up to the big leagues and be able to perform.
What does the future look like for the Guardians? Do you think this is? Is this where the thing's going, or is it just where it's going right now? And LeBron wants to win on and off the court. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.